Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Hello, I'm Megan, and this is the podcast where I connect with friends and we talk about touring and we talk about snacks. And actually, this podcast, I feel like, is turning more into an excuse to make new friends and to connect with folks who I have long admired get to chat with them and say, hey, you want to make some money? Guests do get paid, and that is because of the funding that we do get, the support that we get from Canada Council for the Arts, Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. So I know I thank them every time at the end, but I thought, why not give them a thank you off the top? Because I'm really grateful for the chance to produce this podcast, to connect with folks, and to give fellow artists a little bit of money right now. So, yeah. Okay, let's keep those feel-good feelings trucking along here, folks. Marlena Moore is today's guest, a fantastic songwriter. This conversation was so much fun. She gives some great touring tips, a lot of astrology talk, and to full disclosure, I did have to edit some of our astrology talk out, so, our Venus signs and our Mercury placements might remain a mystery to some folks for now, but you know, I have to remind myself this is supposed to be about touring and snacking, right? It's not an astrology podcast just yet, but it weaves its way in there. Anyways, okay, let's just get right to the conversation. Today's guest is Marlena Moore. It is so nice to get to speak with you.
Hello, it's nice to get to speak with you too, my dear.
that was so formal.
Oh yes, well of course I'm in my bathrobe. I have wet hair. I'm a very formal person. That's just I like to keep it classy.
I do appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. You're joining us from Montreal today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you did all the way. It's nice and dark already. I see it's like, is that sunshine over there where you are at still?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it is sunshine, and I'm really fortunate where I live right now. It's like I have two south-facing windows, and in the winter time I can see the sunrise and the sunset from both of these windows, and it's just like, oh, it's really nice. Yeah, I was thinking the other day, you know, I thought, like, I read a lot of news, and I if I'm traveling, I catch the news on the hour on, you know, CBC and whatnot, and I thought when I'm watching the newscast at night, the national, I thought, you know what they should do? They should start off the newscast, every newscast, with a picture of the sunrise that morning. I think it would help people's.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know?
That's very sweet.
I think it would help people.
Yeah. Well, and not everybody gets to see that too, depending on where you live. You know, it can be a bit more, inviting, inclusive, you know, let everybody get a peek at that bad boy in the morning.
It could be from different parts of the country or whatever. I guess probably this is a little bit more of the vein of the weather network, but I think it's just for me personally, I think we should have sunrise and sunset, look at them as much as possible. You know?
Absolutely. Oh yeah.
Do I sound like a prairie cliche?
Oh, and it's so beautiful. I love that so much. I was I spent the majority of the lockdown living with my boyfriend in his parents' basement in Calgary, right on Fish Creek Provincial Park. And ups and downs, of course, but in terms of a spot to be for the most of when everything was fully shut down, I'm so grateful that it was there because I definitely had a lot of sunrise and sunsets, got to bear witness to that. So that was, I felt very lucky for that. And I love the prairie so much. I also, I love people from Saskatchewan a lot. I do. Anytime I meet someone and I'm just like, you know, where are you from? I was like, oh, I'm from Saskatoon. I'm immediately like, oh, get over here, you. Let's chat. Oh my goodness, you sweetie. I'm not sure if that is just so completely condescending. I hope it's not coming around. I hope it's, I do mean it in a very affectionate way. Like I was raised in Edmonton, so I'm not like, you know, some, I'm not some fancy city gal. Like, oh, look at all the little country mice. Cause honestly, that is my goal for my life, which I had before, but I think was just cemented with the pandemic, is to eventually end up, you know, in the woods, in the country, on a farm. That's the dream.
Yeah, I can relate to some of these dreams like cementing more during the pandemic, because it has been a time where it's like, you know, I've definitely had, you know, a few existential crises.
Moments,
you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it makes you totally, you know, reevaluate everything.
Your values.
Your values, yeah. Your goals.
Yeah.
My relationship to productivity, that's been a huge one.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So, like, the biggest thing... that hit me, you know, and again, like it, like my record came out at like the worst possible time for record to come out, like March 27th of 2020,
yeah,
when no one knew what on earth was going on, what was going to happen, things were on hold. And then, but then like later through the year, like releases start coming in, things start kind of moving, but you're still sort of waiting. So it's just, you know, kind of up in the air for quite a while. And you know, the biggest thing that really, you know, knocked me down a peg was realizing what is my identity when I have to just sit and wait? What is my identity when there is nothing to be done? There's no step that I can clearly see and need to move towards. And that really, that was a time. That was quite something. in a brand new relationship, you know, everything is all like sweet, pandemic hits, and I'm suddenly like living with him in his parents' basement, and I'm just it got real, but it was good. It was good, but it got real.
I can so relate to that. I was in a very new relationship. Like we were seeing each other for a little while and then we weren't. And then we were just talking about like, should we try this again? And then the pandemic hit. And it was like one of those situations. It was so scary. You know, like that, like when you think of March and April, when it was like, see nobody stay home, see no one stay home.
Wash your groceries, wash those bags of chips. Yeah. Yeah.
Like washing your groceries is one of the most frustrating tasks. Like it's like, oh my gosh, that was, and I did it for a really long time, actually. I really did. I really committed to washing those bags of chips. I have some friends who didn't actually. Like I did have some pals that weren't into it. But I was, like up until pretty recently, actually, I was still doing it. But anyways, like I remember like having that conversation with my partner. It's like, well, I see you and you move in, or I don't see you. You know?
Yeah.
So like all of a sudden,
are you in or you're out? Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was it was one of the best things to happen to me, but it was also like, it was definitely one of those risks. It's like, oh, what if you move in and it's awful during a really like stressful time to begin with. But you know, I remember your record coming out during that time, because I was like, really, into, like, I was like really, I'm trying to find a better word. I want to say obsessed, but I don't think that's an appropriate word. I listen to your song on repeat all the time. Call that what you will, folks.
you're quite taken with it.
I was quite taken with I Miss You. And I think it's such an awesome song. I love the whole record. But when that single came out, because that came out in February, that single, right?
Or at yes, the start I believe of March. So. Yes, I yeah. believe so. I think it came out at the start of. Yeah, I think it came out in February because I remember we shot the video like in January, maybe earlier than that. And then, yeah, kind of slowly brought it out. Now the one thing is that if you're going to release a, you're going to release a record at the beginning of the pandemic, having the single be I Miss You, that is a, you know, that's recommended. relatable content, I guess, you know, just trying to see the positive. Yeah.
Well, and it's like now that actually you're triggering some memories for me right now. I'm thinking about that song, and I put that song on a playlist that I sent to my now partner when we were like thinking about like seeing each other again, like as he was coming to visit me, like listening to this playlist. Ooh. And like that song was on there. And then like the pandemic hit. And I remember watching you like play songs in your bathtub. And like,
there it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, I remember talking to a friend and I was like, I feel so bad. For Marlena Moore, because this beautiful record she just released came out during the pandemic. Like, I just hope it gets the recognition it deserves. And actually, we did a radio show. This is my friend Dana Rempel, who has a show on CJTR, and we played some of your songs. I remember saying that on air. Like, I just like, I hope people listen to this record. It's so good. And, but there was like so much happening in the world when you released it. Yeah. But you're right. The song I Miss You probably did speak to a lot of folks in like a different way.
Yeah, I totally. And I mean, the thing that I realized too with that record, again, like came to a lot of realizations in, you know, in 2020 and beginning of 21, because you kind of had to, or else you were just gonna, you know, I don't know. That's the way I like to live. It's like, okay, what do we need to learn from this situation that we've been, this is the moment that I find myself in, kind of thing. And the thing that I realized with that record was that like making it was so beautiful and so like nourishing for my creative self. I like just witnessing Chad and seeing like his life, and then all the like, you know, the people that worked on that record. It's also, you know, and it was how I got to know my current partner. We were both in relationships at the time of making the record, and so we got to know each other as friends. And then later on, when we were both out of relationships, came to, you know, realize that we were like, oh, hey, you, like, this is where it's at. And so it's also, when I look back at that time, it's also so sweet because of that. And so like, I just so appreciate that time of actually creating it. And then in a way, coming out of it and having to release it, I realized that I had just put so much pressure on that record to like do stuff for me. You know what I mean? Like I was so proud of it, and I loved making it so much. And the songs came out of some of the just darkest times in my life that I really just, I wanted to be heard and I wanted to share it. And, but that's a lot of pressure to put on a thing that you make. And it's not a guarantee. You kind of have to just, you know, okay, I'm going to say something and please forgive me for saying this, but it's like your children, basically. Yeah. Like your songs are your children, man, where it's just like you just make it, and then they're just there, and it doesn't really belong to you anymore in a way. You know, it's like once you're releasing to share with people, then people are going to take it or they're going to leave it. And then that's kind of just it. And so that was actually a really good, it was a really beautiful fall from grace in that way to realize that. And the other thing too, is I remember, you know, re-listening to it, like after months and months had passed, and I was just like, I was listening to the tunes and it's like, oh yes, I remember this day. And this was such a great idea. I loved how this turned out. But then also I felt something very real in me that was like, but this is not all that I am capable of. This is not, and for a while, I really held that belief to be true, that this was gonna be it, you know? And I, and so that was also a really, that was a good release as well. Like, this is not, you have a lot, there's so much more. You don't have to like hold on to what you have just created. I hope anything that I just said made sense. I feel like I tend to, when I'm in like an interview or it's like talking setting, I just tend to go on a little hippie rant. So I like, whatever, right? Whoa.
Well, you're in the right place for that. Let me tell you, you're in the right place. No, I felt like, you know what? As someone who just released a divorce record, you just said so much that I needed to hear.
Hello. Oh yeah, I love Table for One. That track is so beautiful. I played it on my little radio show.
Yeah, I saw that. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Of course, yeah.
I really appreciate that. Yeah,
stunning.
That.
Divorce record. This is so, it's your like a prayer. I think that's Madonna's divorce record, I believe. Yes. Wow. That's power. That's really heavy. Holy cow. That's amazing. Well, it's like, you know what I mean?
Well, but like what you were saying about like putting that pressure on this, like, oh gosh, like, you know, like a part of like what ended my marriage was the fact that I was never a part of it. There are many, 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 many layers that we don't have to get into on this. But you know, part of it was I was always on the road. I was always on the road for my career. I was always on the road for my music. Yeah. And so when you make that sacrifice, and like I think about a lot of different parts of my life, like how many, you know, Thanksgiving suppers or whatever I'd miss, or like Chris, or like even like sometimes like Christmases, holidays, whatever I would miss because I would be touring somewhere, I'd be gone. You make that sacrifice, and then it's like, I feel like it can be easy to put all this, like to put this pressure on your art, you know, like I could put this like unnecessary amount of pressure now on this divorce record and be like, this better do well because like this is why my marriage failed, you know?
Yeah, and that's, like, totally.
That's not healthy for me to do that. And like, I feel like everything you've just said, I was just like, oh yeah, I needed this reminder. And like that being said, like I feel like, you know, my past self that was like so brokenhearted and suffering, like what was that? Like three years ago. I'm like such a different person now, but I just feel like that pressure that we put on our art. And also, you know, like, when the pandemic first hit and I wasn't able to just like tour, I thought, okay, who am I? And also I feel when I'm having like going through something rough, I know that like, okay, well, whatever. Tonight I'm going to get up on stage and for 45 minutes, my friends and I are going to play music and nobody can touch me in that moment. But then when the pandemic hit, it's like, oh, I don't have that. I don't have that. No. I have to like sit and be with every single like human part of me that I don't like. I have to just sit with that now. And I'm like, oh God.
Completely. Absolutely.
So I was like,
oh no, I feel that.
Really fun to hang out with. No. No, no, it's honestly though, like I feel like you know, like when you mentioned too that you got into this, like into a relationship, like right at the start of the pandemic, it's like what a it's just such a hard time to go through that with anybody. And I just feel like, I don't know, it's going to be interesting the next, you know, few years when more art comes out of this time because I'm sure that a lot of folks had to either be like, are you in or are you out with relationships, right? And just to like,
I know so many people where that happened to. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I remember talking to someone about how, like, yeah, I went on two dates with this girl, and then like her roommates were like getting back from like, you know, like a Europe trip or whatever. And so she needed a place to stay while they quarantined. It was like, okay, I guess you'll stay here. And now we've just been together ever since. that was quite a time, because me and my partner got together around like Christmas time of like 2019, and then we were living in different cities, but his family is from Alberta and I was living in Edmonton at the time, with plans to like move somewhere else, and he was living out here in Montreal. And so the plan was like, you'll come out here, we'll go on a huge tour, and then in the fall we'll like move to Montreal. And so he flew out like in February to play a show with me and was like, oh, well, tour starts in only a couple weeks, so I guess I'll just stay here. And then he was just here and like left his apartment and so, oh my God, it was wild. Wild times. Wild times. It was very, you know, it was, you know, thrusted. And the other thing too is that you're not used to, all of the sudden you're just dealing with someone's very intense emotions and like, oh my goodness, you know, it gets dark, you know. I don't know if you're into astrology, but I have a Scorpio moon and it's it's a cave.
Well, I'm a Scorpio sun.
Well, there you go. Hey, happy season. My gosh.
Thank you.
I feel Scorpio season, for people who are into astrology, it's like, it's, you know, like the holidays, like Christmas time for people. It really, really is. Like I am currently enrolled in a three-part Zoom conference. With an astrologer, like it's through over three different days and you do like little check-ins and stuff like that, or like Scorpio season. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's very fun. Very,
that's
very
really cool
stuff.
That's really cool.
Very, very into it, you know? And it only, like, I just remember being like a, you know, a little girl and seeing, you know, like, Kiki's Delivery Service and, you know, Wendy and Casper, and just being like, you know what, I am going to really try hard to be a witch in my life. I feel like I need to go, and like Matilda and stuff too, like all that stuff. And then as an adult, just being like, okay, and especially during the pandemic, it's like, okay, it's we are full on. CERB is paying for all of my candles and for my... paying for all of my, yeah, I am doing rituals on the government dime for this time.
Basically. Oh, that's amazing. It warms my heart to hear you say that, actually, because I feel like I stepped away, like during the pandemic, I stepped mm-hmm. away from that. But to be fair, like, any kind of, ritual stuff I would mainly do with friends. Like, and so then I just wasn't like seeing anybody, you know,
What's your moon and rising? Give me the three.
Cancer rising.
Oh,
I know, right?
Little sweetie pie, yeah.
Scorpio sun.
Right. What's the moon?
Aquarius.
Aquarius moon. Oh, yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. It's kind of just like, yeah, no. Sure. Yeah, apparently I'm not going to elaborate on it at all. I'm
No, I actually.
Just be smug. I'm just going to be smug, apparently.
I think you going, oh, Aquarius moon, and then going, to describe Aquarius moon felt very appropriate, because I feel like Aquarius moon is like just an awkward sign. I love it. I love having Aquarius moon, but like, yeah. I just feel like it's a bit weird.
I'm an Aquarius rising. Oh. And so I definitely understand the Aquarius energy of just like, hello, fellow humans. Hey, how's it going? And then also, and then just having those feelings creep in, it's interesting. It's like the Scorpio moon is like this, like kind of a, you know, it's like a dark boiler room. And then the Aquarius moon, the Aquarius rising is just kind of trying to get in and be like, what's going on? Hey, what's happening there? I can't figure it out. And then my Gemini sun won't stop talking about that.
I feel like, something that has really made me, like during the pandemic, I've realized like that Cancer rising, that Scorpio sun, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. do I love to like ferociously nurture and protect. Like,
yes, I completely. Yeah. Well, it's no wonder you want to do that with your friends too. And Yeah, that's so beautiful. That's a gorge combo.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. I want to keep talking astrology, but we need to take a short break. And we'll be back right away. Do you have a fun tag that you could say at the end of this?
Woohoo! See you soon.
You've been listening to Pep and Chad with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center. Today's guest is Marlena Moore, and full disclosure, folks, we talked a lot about astrology, and it couldn't all fit in to the program, in today's program. So I'm going to bring you back into the conversation shortly after I disclosed to Marlena that my Mercury is in Scorpio. So let's get back to it, shall we? Anyways, I don't know.
Well, and also too, I feel like a Mercury in a water sign. It's you know we're both songwriters, and we're both like expressing that through expressing our feeling, communicating through that way, through like feelings. You're going into the depths, like releasing a divorce record is a very Scorpio thing to do. Like that's that's very powerful. I'm still like, good for you. Like, honestly, I'm like, I think divorce records are so, I think they're really cool, to say the least, because I don't think people truly understand just how, like, totally devastating it is. And if you're not super rich too, it is like it can be like financially like devastating as well. And it's just really like, I apologize if I am going off the rails now, but I don't know, it's very powerful. I hope I've said my piece on that.
I appreciate everything you're saying, and I feel like too that there's this expectation of anger to be associated with divorce, and I wanted to be, you know, because I do write songs that are like really personal. There is I wanted there to be a tenderness in these songs too, because I do have a tenderness towards my ex, and I feel like, and I always will, and that's just a part of it. I think sometimes we always expect anger, and while that's a part of the story, it's not everything is more like multifaceted than just this like black and white binary way of thinking. But, you know, oh, though I feel, oh, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, and I also feel like one of the most troubling things for people is not being able to separate love and relationships. They are totally two different things. Like I can fully love you, like truly, and know that I can't have anything to do with you. You know, like there is, that is such a, that's such a real thing, yeah. You know, like that is, yeah. they are relationships and love are not the same thing. They just aren't. I hope someone heard that and that could be helpful, because I know that was something that I needed to hear.
I was just thinking about how much I wish I could have heard what you said, you know, 12 years ago. Like, oh my goodness. Yeah. And, because we're kind of, you know, I think maybe part through just, society and cultural norms and whatnot, we're quite often told like love is enough, all you need is love, and that's like not with regards to relationships, no. Like love, like, because yeah, like you're right, they're separate. I feel like that the part of me that was like felt really like I had to write a divorce record, I swear I feel like the same part of me, if I ever have a kid, there's going to be a kid's album so fast. You know what I mean?
And oh, it's going to come, yeah,
from a similar place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Like, what are some good, like child, like records? I'm trying to think. Cause I know there was like some of like I know Carly Simon had one, and, you know, John Lennon had like his one or whatever, just about like, you know, parenthood in general. I think that's always an interesting, because also too, a lot of the times it'll be, you know, maybe like a 70s artist, and they're like, you know, coming back in the 90s about talking about their kids, but it's like a big hit, you know, it's kind of moody or whatever. I can't say any specific, tip of my tongue right now, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I just think the idea of being a parent is so far out, and I just think that
completely.
It would be so emotional. You know, like, I don't even know. Oh my gosh.
I can't comprehend it. And the other thing too is like there's always something to that. You know, again, we're talking about like tradition, and you're partnering with your, you know, kind of Aquariusness and your Capricornness. There's always like something, you know, there's always like a vantage point to view something in a like traditional sense that maybe hasn't been thought of in a specific way, like something that you're experiencing that is totally unique to what is, you know, quote unquote, kind of like what people like do, you know, mm-hmm. You get married and you have a child or whatever, but there's so much to unpack there, depending, because everyone is so different. And every experience, I feel like, is so different. So yeah, I think I'm looking forward to that day, to that hearing that single, if that's something that you want to do and will do with your life. So I'll keep my ear to the ground for that.
Oh gosh, that's gonna
that
be
hot a hot parenthood track.
Oh man, yeah, I remember asking my grandparents, I remember asking my parents, like, so why did you have kids? And I so much of like, mm-hmm. Well, it's just like, it's what you did. And I that always like blew my mind that you would have like bring these like children into the world just because that's what you did. Like, that's such a huge decision, that's such a huge thing to do. And they just did it, and it was like, yeah, it just kind of it's a lot for me to wrap my brain around, but yeah, wow. But in the meantime, I'm just writing songs, and they do. It's so interesting putting out a record and thinking like I've been so annoying on social media lately. It's all I've been talking about. But this is literally like 3 years of my life, really the last year. And I have nothing going for me outside of this. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is all my life's been for the last 3 to 4 years. So I'm sorry that it's all I'm posting, but it's like, yeah, it's been so much. Like, Like, are you writing right now? Are you thinking about writing? Are you planting seeds? Where are you at?
I just finished tracking a new album.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, and that is, it is going to be getting mixed in a couple weeks. But it is Scorpio season. And during November, I always find myself being like, ooh, there's some new tune just around the corner. Like what will happen? And so I've been jotting little things down and kind of writing again. My partner is currently away on tour as of Sunday. And wow, did I have a strong, strong emotional reaction that I was not expecting to him leaving for tour. Yeah, it was quite something. I felt very bad for him because he was just like, should I not go or something? I'm like, no, it's okay. I'll be fine. You can go. You're mad. And it was very strange for me because like he is again in the normal times, you know, with his band, he is, you know, touring all the time, right? And that is like, you know, part of it. And that's what I'm like aiming to do as well. Like I would like to be out on the road right now. Like I'm not as eager maybe as other people. Like I'm kind of like, okay, I need to like, you know, settle down for a little bit. And then maybe once, in, you know, tunes start to come out and stuff, then I can be like kind of ready for that. But I got very spoiled with like, I had a tour free boyfriend for like the last 2 years. And then just like being in a new city and, you know, just having all the feelings all at once. And, it was strange. I'm feeling a lot better about it. It was definitely a strong initial reaction. And I am just a real sensitive, like real, real emotional lady to say the least. And so it was bound to come at some point, just the release. And that's honestly, I always say too, like, I feel like I kind of freak people out with how much I cry sometimes too. Like I cry a lot. It doesn't take very much to make me cry. But basically it's what my body, I always think of it as like, it's what my body has learned to do to deal with stress. Like that's what it's doing right now. And it's, that's the Aquarius rising justifying the Scorpio moon right there. Like the Gemini and Aquarius, right? Like the more Gemini thing. She's like, oh yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good. It's totally fine. But honestly, I'm reaching a point right this moment where I'm like, you know what? I'm doing crafts. I'm picking all the movies. I'm taking French classes out here. I am just having a little like under the Tuscan sun moment, except it's Montreal and the sun sets at 4 p.m. So. Yeah.
What kind of crafts are you making?
Oh, well, okay. It's in the room, but I last night I made a little construction paper house, a little A-frame. Glued it on some jumbo sticks. We have this giant plant that was left here by the last tenant, and it's got a nice little, like, it's very tall, but it doesn't take up too much of like the bottom space. And I'm not a plant person. I really, really want to be, but I'm just afraid I'm going to kill them all the time. Cause I'm a bit of like, I can be a smotherer, just like trying to like water it all the time. Like, come on, wake up. Sorry. And then, but it's got this nice little plot of land in the pot. So I'm like, you know what? A little tiny house, I think, would look real good there. Ah. So, I got the little A-frame, and I was so proud of myself too. It was like, oh my God, I am like, an, I'm an architect. Like, I just created this like tiny little house. It's like genius design. Like, maybe I should get that as my part-time job or something. Like, and then I got some, we're into collage in this household. And so I have a ton of like collage stuff. So I'm going to deck it out real, real nice. This tiny, tiny, tiny little house.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I like very small things and very large things, like things that are supposed to be small that are big, or things that are like supposed to be big that are small, you know, like it's the way it is, the way it should be.
I was really into ceramic houses for a while, like the little ceramic house tea lights. I got really into those for a little bit. And then I, you know, I had to move a few times and kind of lost that. But I still have my ceramic cats. They are still with me, and they have been with me. Yeah. They've been with me for a long time now, actually.
They've seen it all. They've seen it all.
They're my longest relationships, really. Those ceramic cats.
Oh, that's very sweet. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah. I probably got my ceramic cats when I first met you, to be honest. It was probably, I maybe even had my ceramic cats at that show when I first met you.
Yeah, holy cow. Okay, so that was at one of my favorite venues of all time. Confirm that, Van Gelis or Vangelis?
I was always calling it Van Gelis, and it's since changed names, but yeah, I believe it was Van Gelis when we played there, yep.
That case. So I, as of this year, I became a vegan, but holy cow, like there, I still think about the fettuccine Alfredo at Van Gelis. Like, it really, I love pasta. It knocked my socks off. It was unexpected that like the greatest like fettuccine Alfredo I have come across was in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, at like a venue with VLTs. Like, the food there was quite impressive, I have to say. So yeah, that's a good memory. And anytime we'd play there, I'd be like, oh, I can't wait to get my hands on that fettuccine Alfredo. Because you got a free meal. It's nice to know when you play at certain venues, like as a out of town, and you're like, oh, I get this free meal here.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I know what I'm eating tonight. I'm eating fine. Yeah.
Like, do you remember what year that was? Because you were on tour with, you were playing bass in a band.
I was playing bass in Switches, the garage rock, like psych rock outfit that I was in. I was, I would have been 21 years old, and that was my first tour that I ever went on in my whole life. And that was also quite a brutal learning experience, because I was a 21 year old who was in like a, you know, new band. I had not been properly diagnosed with my with all of my mental health things, and I just totally burnt myself out into the ground by the end of that tour, and had to it was kind of the first time that I was faced with like, Marlena, you have to learn how to parent yourself a little bit. And I feel like I'm constantly learning that all the time, where I, like, you know, 2 seconds after my boyfriend left for tour, I looked around, I'm like, it's a mess in here. Like, how did this happen? Or like, how, like, why? And just constantly like taking little steps to be like, okay, maybe you should take care of yourself a little better, probably. But at that time, when I was in my like early 20s, oof, like I was disgusting. Like, hygienically, it was disgusting. Like, I didn't do any laundry ever, which I'm sure a lot of like just like I fully had access to laundry. Laundry was never out of reach to me, and it just was never done. I just ate pizza, would just order a giant pizza at the beginning of the week and then just live off that for the week. And also, I don't know, not taking care of myself at all. And, slowly over the years, learning little tips and tricks on how to, take care of yourself a little more. But I feel like being on tour, yeah, that was the first time. And I feel like the thing is when I'm away traveling, I feel like sometimes I can really, sometimes I feel like the absolute best version of myself, because change does make me so anxious. Being unfamiliar really brings up stuff in me. And so it's this really beautiful, challenge to just be okay, wherever I am, there I am. And I just need to be okay with that. And knowing that okay, if I'm gonna go and eat this mac and cheese at this gas station, that I'm not gonna feel very good, and that's gonna make me be in a bad mood or whatever. And and so it kind of making me more conscious about that. I'm a better parent to myself on the road than in regular home life most of the time.
What are you, besides the fettuccine alfredo of Angeli's, what's your favorite what's your go-to tour snack?
Okay, so I would say, so it's interesting, when you're talking snacks, I feel like there's different modes.
100%.
Because for the late night drives, I need, sometimes you really need what I call needing a flavor. The drive is long and people are getting sleepy, you just want to feel something in your mouth. And I feel like for me, that is either a sweet chili heat or Ruffles All Dressed. I love the Ruffles All Dressed.
Nice.
But that's also for special treat times when I'm just Kate, we're eating chips, and I just need to, I need the flavor time. Flavor time. Yeah. We need a flavor. And then, for snacks and stuff, I remember on one of the first tours I went to with my solo stuff, we tried to make a lot of grocery stores stops. We could, however, fully lived off of and we had a nice little routine going where in the morning we'd go to Tim Hortons and I would get a bagel belt, which frankly, double and bagel belt. It's torn across Canada. Nothing better at the time. Absolutely. And then also, and again, A&W, and they have the Beyond Meat burgers, and everywhere you go, it's the same. And touring in Canada, it's there she is. Yeah. But I don't know. I think probably it's kind of tough to say. It's a tough one. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I guess I really should have thought of that. I thought I already knew the answer, but I guess, yeah, Sweet Chili Heat, Ruffles All Dressed. I like a chip. I like a chip for the road. And then just soda water. It's a pomplamoose.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Or, ooh, actually, I've been really liking the, a flavored iced tea. Cause I find when I was younger, I used to really be into the, tropical Red Bull. That was my
fun.
Yeah, when I was real hard,
vacation
on the edge
in the can. Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly. So I find that that's a nice one to have a little caffeine buzz, but then also have it be fruity and sweet, but not too sweet. And frankly, I'm basically craving one right now. I'm thirsty.
I've never had one before in my life, but you've sold me on it.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called. They kind of, they look like, they're like the little rectangle bottles. And it's like, yeah, iced like black tea. There's, and then like the, there's a few caffeine free options. Oh, it's called like pure tea, I think. Is the one?
Oh yeah. Okay.
The I like the raspberry one because I like anything raspberry. And then also, if you're in the right zone and you come across a fruit stand, you got to get a little fruit for the road.
There you go.
You know, help the tum out. And then, yeah. But it's interesting because I became a vegan in quarantine, and I haven't like really toured since then, and so I'm intrigued to see what that looks like. I think it's just being a little bit slightly more prepared than usual. Right. And advice to people who are trying to like have, you know, kind of a bit more routine. Oh, hello.
I'm so sorry. it's actually Shiloh. Speaking of routine and food, it is it's Shiloh's supper time. I'm so sorry. He is like just letting it known. Apologies. My apologies.
No, that's okay. And Shiloh will be fed, folks. Don't worry. this dog will be fed and fed well, I imagine. But I think the hot like tour tip is just try to stop at grocery stores when you can, because usually it'll be actually cheaper.
Yeah, I was gonna
and then
say,
you
cheaper,
can just
yeah.
like you can just go, you know, buy an apple. You know, yeah. as a little snack. Cause I think, and again too, it's like, you gotta have your treats while you're on the road. Like it's fun. Let's face it. It's like, it's great being an adult. You get to go and drive around in a car and just go buy chips whenever you want. But you know, when you're, it's also just really good to pay attention to how you're feeling physically. And then also, you know, like I was saying before, like tour can just be really tough on your mental well-being, and everything that you pile onto that can affect it. And so if, you know, I find like, okay, I need to like, maybe, you know, try, yeah, just pay attention to how you're feeling and what certain things are like making you feel some kind of, be mindful, you know, just be mindful and stuff, but you gotta have your treats while you're on the road, you know, like
absolutely.
You gotta.
Absolutely, yeah.
What about you? I imagine you've told your favorite snack before, but I'm curious about yours.
You know what? Actually, I was talking to Sydney Wright on the podcast the other day, and like she was mentioning, she's a musician and also a registered dietitian, and she was talking about how like she likes to travel with something that has like a natural wrapper, like a banana, like have fruit that, you know. And I was like, oh yeah,
and self-contained.
Then, yeah, and so I was like, I have to start traveling with more bananas, and I also love those Clif mint protein bars. Oh, those are good.
Okay, great. Yeah, I love them.
Yeah,
the Clif bars are pretty good. They're pretty hearty.
I like the chewy ones. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not too, I do like chips because I'm a big salt fan, but I'm not a huge like crunch fan. Like I am a fan. I am a fan of mush, I have to say. I am a fan of mushy thing, but I have like, oh my god, the things I could tell you. I like Marlena's food rules, where it's like, I like savory mush and cold sweet things, and I, you know, if you're gonna have I don't know, it's like no sweet breakfast, no raw bell peppers, like all like, you know, food. Or, and if you're gonna have a strawberry, you don't want it to be too cold. Like I don't want to eat like a really, like I can't That's have a fair. Strawberry straight out of the fridge because it hurts my teeth too much. And so I remember actually recently my I was staying with my friend, and she was like, she, again, cancer rising, very nurturing, she was like, Marlena, you should have some fruit first thing in the morning. And I was like, okay, well, if you're gonna give me strawberries, you have to rinse them under hot water. So I just feel like, okay, little child, here's your hot strawberries for you. Thank you.
Marlena, this has been such a pleasure. I wish we could just, you know, hang out in person and eat some hot strawberries in the old, at the old top of the morning. But, you know, well, I'm sure we'll cross paths someday.
You know, I haven't been doing the dairy, but I think I would absolutely break vegan edge for if that fettuccine alfredo is still at Vangelis. You meet me there. I'll grab us a couple rounds.
I look forward to that.
Leave the pot at the table, sir.
I so look forward to that. You take care, friend. Thank you so much.
You take care. Bye now.
There you have it, folks. Marlena Moore. Check out her music at marlenamoore.com. She's so great, and I'm really grateful that she took the time to chat with me. Lovely, lovely, lovely conversation. You've been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Center is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, SaskArts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. This podcast is made possible because of their ongoing support, so thank you. Also, thank you to the Garys for the use of their song Burger Boy as the Pep and Ched theme song, if you will. The Creative City Center is a community-based art center that used to present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are a home for a lot of online productions, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they're cooking up besides all this Pep and Ched with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.